Our gospel this Sunday is the gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning at the 10th chapter, the 40th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. And I invite you to pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you for welcoming us through Jesus Christ our Lord in his precious blood, for welcoming us as your family, as your children. And thank you that empowering us in that way, you also enable us to welcome one another. And so we pray, bless us this day in your word. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, the response of our lives all be graced and empowered by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Indeed, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. There is a word Jesus uses three times in just three verses of the gospel today. The word is reward. It's a word that often we misunderstand. We hear reward and think of merit, payment. How about spiritual points, you know, those brownie points before God? But Jesus is not talking about earning anything. He's describing what happens when grace passes between people, the grace of God, when welcome opens a door of God's life to flow. "Whoever welcomes you," Jesus said, "welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." In other words, God the Father. And then he goes on and he names three kinds of people that one can welcome. And by the way, this is not an exhaustive list. He says the prophet, the righteous one, and the little one. And Jesus promises that in each case there is a reward, not a prize, but a gift of grace that changes us. Let's take a look, walk through each one very briefly here, starting with welcoming a prophet and receiving a prophet's reward. What is that all about? Well, we're talking about not false prophets here. I'll reference you to Jeremiah and that whole account that we read a little bit ago, but to God's prophets, the true prophets who speak truth. And I would put it to you, I kind of wonder if the reward of welcoming a prophet isn't anything but truth. Truth in our lives. God's truth spoken there into us. Sometimes boldly, sometimes even uncomfortably, but always for our good. When we welcome a prophet, we receive that reward. You know, we grow, we mature. We are, as Paul says in Romans, sanctified, that is, drawn deeper into Christ's life. We grow up a little bit more. Now, a caution to us all. Perhaps you're like me and you don't always want to grow up. You don't appreciate the discomfort that comes with someone calling you on what you're doing or these kinds of things. In other words, changing your ways. I've joked through the years that a prophet may be someone you invite to dinner once, but not usually twice, because they're always speaking the truth, and sometimes that can be a very uncomfortable thing. Once is enough, hey? And yet, oh Lord, no matter how many times it takes, send your prophets to us that we might know your truth, however many times it takes. A story from the early church. In fact, I'm going to give you three stories today, just briefly. The first from the early church back, it's a story of Polycarp. Polycarp, who was bishop of Smyrna, who lived 69 to 155 AD, I believe, lived there in Smyrna, modern-day Turkey. And as Polycarp was there as bishop, that, in other words, the local pastor of that area, the presiding pastor, a traveling Christian teacher was coming to town, a man known for being, shall we say, blunt or unsettling. And some urged Polycarp, don't host him, because he's going to annoy you. He speaks too sharply. Polycarp welcomed him anyway. That night, the teacher sitting with Polycarp told him a hard truth. He said, you are a gentle and beloved leader of the church, but your gentleness sometimes keeps you from correcting in others what needs correcting. Well, Polycarp later said that this unwelcome truth became a turning point in his ministry. Not that he became mean, but it strengthened him for the trials he would face. And if you don't know the story of Polycarp, it's worth reading. Take a look, do some research. You can even go online if you wish. I'm sure it's under Google somewhere. Especially his martyrdom and the witness in his 80s before so many people. Polycarp's reward there, as he welcomed a prophet, one of God's prophets speaking truth, and in this case, hard truth, that truth shaped him into the leader the church needed. And sometimes the reward God gives us is that truth we didn't want, but desperately need. How about the second kind of person Jesus talked about welcoming? Welcoming a righteous person and receiving what? A righteous person's reward. What's that about? Now, I'm going to add into the thought here, maybe it's their faith, their steadiness, their clarity of life with God kind of rubbing off on us. You know, picture the classic scene of the fireplace and the embers in it, the embers coming together, one giving heat to the next. When we welcome such a person, when we let their faith rub off on us, we receive the reward of being strengthened in our own walk. Our faith, our hope, our love are renewed. Think about another story from the early church, in this case, from the life of Macrina the Younger, who lived back in the 4th century in Cappadocia, another Turkey place. That is modern-day country of Turkey. She was the sister of Basil the Great and Gregory of Nyssa. Macrina founded a monastic community known for radical hospitality. I mean radical in the sense of back to the roots. But there were limits for some of those who were gathered there. I mean, one winter, as the story goes, a very rough, angry stranger arrived at the door of this community. Some sisters, they hesitated, but Macrina welcomed him, even washed his feet, you did that back in those days, and gave him a place at their table, not off to the side, but right there with the community. And lo and behold, that man began to welcome Macrina into his life. Over the days, the man softened He even began to pray with them. He began to weep during worship. And finally he said to Macrina, "Your kindness, your faith has given me back my faith." Gregory of Nyssa, Macrina's brother, later wrote that Macrina, her holiness drew others upward to God. The stranger, in welcoming Macrina, received renewed faith. Macrina received the gift of joy, seeing her faithfulness bear fruit, the faithfulness of God through her. She truly made a difference in the life of another human being. The reward of welcoming a righteous person is the gift, I would argue, of their faithfulness shaping us. How about the third? Welcoming a little one. You know, a cup of cold water, that reward will not be taken away in doing that. What is that about? When you think about little ones, I mean, I naturally think about people like, all of our VBSers that we had running around in here this week. Yes, but it's more than that. The little ones are the vulnerable ones. Whatever their age, from cradle to the grave, the ones who cannot repay us. Their reward is being cared for, receiving that cup of cold water and more. But our reward, the one Jesus promises, is the gift of becoming more human, truly human, as God created us to be. Not the thing of, well, I'm only human. No, this is humanity as seen in Jesus Christ. More tender, more like Christ. Again, back to the early church, a story from there would be, well, Lawrence of Rome. He was martyred in 258 AD. One day, a Roman prefect demanded something of Lawrence. And by the way, Lawrence was a deacon of the church. He was in charge, in his case, of the church's finances. Now, before I go on, it might also be helpful to be aware that a Roman prefect was an imperial officer appointed by the Roman emperor to govern a region, you know, oversee public order, collect taxes, enforce Roman law, supervise local officials. Prefects often had the power to judge legal cases and carry out punishments, including executions. Well, as I was saying, one day, the Roman prefect demanded that Lawrence hand over the treasures of the church. And you know what he was thinking about, huh? It was under the Vespian persecutions that were raising up or rising up. Now, Lawrence asked for 3 days to prepare. And what Lawrence did was to gather the poor, the sick, the widows, the orphans, the little ones, the vulnerable ones. And when the prefect returned 3 days later, Lawrence took him before these people and said, "These are the treasures of the church." The prefect became enraged and ordered Lawrence's execution. August 10th, 2058 AD, Lawrence became another one of the Christian martyrs, the Christian witnesses that witnessed their faith in Christ unto death, in a long line of many more before and after. Now, Lawrence's living sermon may not have preached to the heart of the prefect, but it certainly touched the hearts of all those who gathered with him, including the vulnerable ones, but also those who served alongside of Lawrence in a time of great struggle and strain. Those dear ones said that caring for the poor changed them, that indeed they were the treasures of the church, and their hearts softened, their priorities shifted, their faith deepened. Lawrence's living sermon did preach, after all. The reward by welcoming the little ones was to become more like Christ. Sometimes the reward God gives us is the softening of our own hearts. Do you detect a theme going on here? Yeah. So, thinking again, real quickly, you could almost hear Jesus' teaching summarized like this. Polycarp welcomed a prophet and received the reward of truth. Macrina welcomed a righteous one and received the reward of renewed faith. That one received a reward of renewed faith even as he welcomed Macrina. And Lawrence welcomed the little ones and received the reward of a heart shaped like Christ, even a heart that was bold to stand before the prefect and say, I will not renounce Christ. This is the economy of grace Jesus describes. Not merit, not payment, but mutual transformation, for God is there. And so I share one more thing this day, maybe the most important thing of all. Right before Jesus says, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, he sends out his disciples with no bag, no money, no tunic. My goodness, when I just packed for a weekend trip or a couple days, I bring far more clothes than I'll ever wear. Nothing to fall back on, though, for Jesus' disciples sent out. Nothing to protect them, nothing to hide behind. They are sent vulnerable. They are sent dependent. They are sent needing welcome. Which means the welcome Jesus talks about is not just something we give, it is something we also receive. Now, receiving welcome, especially when we feel exposed or unsure or not in control, can be uncomfortable. It can feel like weakness, it can feel like risk. But Jesus says, whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. So when someone welcomes you, when someone offers kindness or truth or steadying faith or simple compassion, you are not just receiving help, you are receiving Christ. And through Christ, you are receiving the Father. In every act of welcome, whether you are the one welcoming or the one being welcomed, Jesus is present and the Father is present. The very heart of God is present. When you welcome a prophet, Christ is there speaking truth. When you welcome a righteous one, Christ is there strengthening faith. When you welcome a little one, Christ is there softening hearts. And when someone welcomes you, Christ is there receiving you. And the Father is there embracing you. So as you go into this week, dear one, to your homes, to your workplaces, your neighborhoods, your travels, watch for the ones God sends across your path and you across theirs. Because in every welcome, Christ is already waiting. And in Christ, the Father is drawing near. The Father is there. Thanks be to God. Amen.